in the Son.
Amen.
So he's still speaking.
Amen.
And he speaks in the members of his body, right? You ever been in a meeting and somebody says something and you're like, they're speaking to me, you know? One time I was in this meeting and there was a brother sharing like me, you know, with a microphone. And I was sitting out at the side and he was talking about a certain Greek word. And I was sitting there and inside I just know a little bit of Greek, not much. Anyways, he shared something of the Greek word. And inwardly I was like, you mispronounced the word. And he looks back at me and he goes, so Paul, how do we pronounce it? And I was like, I didn't say anything, you know what I mean? Sometimes you realize the Lord is speaking,
amen,
and he speaks through the members of his body. So we're just all open to the Lord speaking,
amen,
and maybe he might have something for you in the different portions here. So anyways, just a few of us brothers are going to pass the ball around a little bit, and then Brother Minoru will be here a little later. So I was just going to start by bringing out something that I enjoyed from the last two meetings, which kind of captures this matter of the gospel. And to some of us, this word is a scary term, you know what I mean? The gospel, especially, you know, some of us may have grown up in a Christian home, and the gospel means, you know, your mom and dad or serving one, thrusting you out, putting a tract in your hand and, you know, go get some fruit, you know? So the gospel may not be an altogether pleasant term to us. And what I was touched with is that the gospel is actually two-sided. In Matthew, you know, Matthew is a good book. It presents the kingdom. And with a kingdom, you have a lot of demands, right? There's demands in a kingdom. And so Matthew lays out, in a sense, the doctrines with all of the demands that are there. And one of the top demands is you need to go, disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So we need to be those who go. That sometimes is a scary thing for someone who is dispositionally less inclined to activity, you know? We want to be situated right where we are. We're comfortable. We're safe. And the Lord says, go. You're like, what do you mean? I just got here. Well, the gospel has a demand. It says, go.
Amen.
Go, therefore. Okay, so we need to receive that there's a demand to the kingdom, that we should be those that are going people.
Amen.
Wherever we are, whether we're on campus, whether we're in our dorms, whether we're in our communities, there's a commission that the Lord has given to us. In Acts 1:8, the Lord actually gave the secret to the whole book of Acts. He says, to the people, the children, the believers in Jerusalem, he says, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he says, you need to go. And all of you, us, have at least a Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem's your immediate neighboring community. Some of you may have a Samaria. There's just a little bit beyond where you immediately live, that the Lord would thrust you into. Some have Judea, Samaria. Some of you may be called into a work where the Lord thrusts you out to the uttermost parts of the earth. I don't know where that is. The Philippines, Congo, you know. I opened to the Lord about Congo. I said something like this in a college conference a few years ago. You know, I said, who's going to go to Congo? And for 6 months afterwards, I was praying, Lord, am I supposed to go to Congo? So, you know, my father-in-law was thinking about, or my in-laws were thinking about moving with us, Brother Ernest. They were going to move to be with us. And I expressed that possible burden. My father-in-law was not so open to the burden for Congo. But anyways, the Lord may thrust us out. And we should have at least a heart that says, I will go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So there's a certain demand that comes with the kingdom. But we realize if all we have is a demand, your Christian life will be like pushing your car. You may be able to get it across the street, but you're not getting it very far, right? Actually, a lot of us are trying to live our Christian life as though we had no gas in our tank. And so we're like, dang, this is hard. I just can't seem to overcome these sins. Why is this so onerous and laborious? Well, Praise the Lord. There's another gospel. There's not just the gospel of Matthew, there's the gospel of John. These two actually are good bookends for the gospel. John presents the gospel of life. This is the gospel that's your supply. This is the gospel that puts gas in your tank. And it's the gospel that empowers you to go forth. So we need to be those who have grace, right? We need to be those that are receiving and enjoying grace. It says, be empowered in the grace in Ephesians 6. So we need to be those who taste something that empowers us in our Christian life. So eventually, once you learn how to turn the ignition switch in your car and drive a little bit, the Christian life is effortless. Preaching the gospel is automatic, spontaneous, and organic. It just flows out of something that's inside of you. It really is a living outflow. You don't have to try. Actually, I was going to invite somebody here for this conference. I met him. He was cutting my hair last week. He was an African-American barber here in the city. And I went to him, and there was nobody else in there. I went in there, and I said, can you cut my hair? And he was like, I can do it, you know? I said, all right, let's talk here, you know? So then I said, how much? He says, $20. I said, oh, it's a little steep. Anyway, so we agreed at 15. So he started trimming my hair. So I asked him, the first thing I asked him was, what do you think I do for a living? And he was like, I don't know, lawyer? I was like, lawyer? I don't know if I look like a lawyer. Anyways, I said, no, I'm not a lawyer. We ended up winning through a lot of different career fields. And basically I told him, you know what I do? I enjoy the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I serve him with my full time. And he was like, oh. He called the woman in the next room, the salon, you know. He's like, Pam, we got a preacher in here. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Whatever you want to call me, I'm going to give you grace. Anyways, the gospel flowed out. We should have something that empowers us and thrusts us forth. But my little portion that I just wanted to share is that we need to realize the gospel has two sides. It has a demand and it has a supply. If we're properly calibrated, we will realize that these are just two sides of the same coin. Sometimes we see the demand and we balk. You know what I mean? We hesitate. If we were to realize, as soon as there's a demand, immediately as you say amen, there's a supply. And the Lord just comes right behind you and fills you with grace, empowering and thrusting you out into the gospel. So we have many experiences of this, I think, here. And we're probably going to open up the mic and just have a time to fellowship in a little bit. But before that, I'm going to pass the mic off to some other brothers who might have something further to share. And we're just we're playing ball here. So until the Lord comes back, we will speak.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that good? Got me? Amen. Okay. So good. Our brother just presented to us, right? You can see there's a demand and there's a supply. So it's time for a little bit of demand concerning the supply in message number two. So maybe some students who had the opportunity to eat that Roman numeral one on message two. Is there anyone you feel bold enough, maybe? Maybe you can stand together. Who feels they have it? The Roman numeral one for message number two. Is there anyone? Anyone?
Let's try to do it together.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe that's too much demand starting out, just a student. Okay, that's good. Yeah, there should always be a supply. You'll see. Amen. There's always got to be some supply, or, you know. Amen. Okay, how about we all try that together? Okay, go. Amen. For their what?
Enjoyment.
Who wants enjoyment?
Amen.
Who needs enjoyment?
Amen.
How about this? God needs us and we need God.
Amen.
But guess what? God wants us to enjoy him.
Amen.
So that he can enjoy us.
Amen.
So I appreciate Paul sharing how there's a demand and there's a supply. I'll use two more words in parallel with those. With message one, we can see the matter of requirement. And with message two, we see the matter of enjoyment. So even the last word here, right, is God being dispensed into people for their enjoyment. So I know some here have been singing some songs. And do you all feel like you can sing that song to us? Amen. Oh, Lord. So I know there were some sisters who were practicing. They actually put, how about this? Would you be encouraged if someone put Roman numeral 1 into a song? Just raise your hand if you'd be encouraged that there was a song. Amen. There is a song with some sisters. Not too much pressure. Oh, you have a word about it? You want me to sing it? Okay, well, I sang it with him. Okay, oh, Lord. Praise the Lord for the supply. Amen. Okay, so I stumbled upon them, and then they just asked me to help out. So, you saints, may you receive grace from this. What's the start of the tune? Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you all come up and help sing this? Yeah. This is a team effort here. Yeah. It's just a front area. Yeah. We can stand right here. And, amen. Or we'll stand back here. How about that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, who's going to start this? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, good. Okay, and you all sing with us. You'll pick up the tune. But you won't know how the words go, so you can just listen. Okay. Amen. Okay. Grace is God himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us, gained by us and enjoyed by us. The gospel of the grace of God is the stewardship of grace to dispense God into people for their enjoyment, their enjoyment. This the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, sisters. Good. Isn't that, that's like one of the best ways to just digest this message. Praise the Lord for his enjoyment.
Amen.
We need to enjoy the Lord, saints. One of my favorite verses, I believe it's not on the outline. I tried to scan through when I was fellowshipping with the brothers about this, but I was so touched our brother Minoru brought this out in his sharing. Because, and maybe it's in subsequent outlines that we're going to get into, but when he brought up Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, I just said, amen. Because that verse says to me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given?
Amen.
How about that? The view in the book of Ephesians is first supply. Then you could say demand, right? The grace was given to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel.
Amen.
Our brother Paul had a gospel like a smorgasbord. You know, some of us here are from Amish country. So you can, on one hand, you can probably tell I stick out a little bit in the Amish country, okay? It could be easy to find me, right, in the Amish country. But what we have there is a lot of food. If you want to eat, come to Lancaster. We've got crops, we've got food, we got restaurants, and we have awesome smorgasbords. But let me tell you something. The real smorgasbord in this universe is Christ Jesus himself.
Amen.
We need to enjoy the grace of God as God's smorgasbord.
Amen.
More than enough enjoyment for us. And the more we enjoy the Lord,
amen,
you actually won't even think about the word requirement. When we get occupied with Christ as our enjoyment, saints, we will have what we enjoyed in Psalm 925. It will just be a glorious outflow, right? Grant us, Lord, the living outflow.
Amen.
You won't even be trying to speak. You actually won't be able to stop yourself from speaking. So this brother right here, He happens to be an enjoyer of Christ. Amen. Let's say praise the Lord for our brother John. Praise the Lord for our brother John. So this brother, he likes to enjoy the Lord, you know, right? We're all learning. And let me tell you, he just barely flowed something to a person. And that person floated to me. And that person, when they floated to me, was recommending that I read the book called The Spiritual Man. Who here would be open to read the book The Spiritual Man? Amen? That's written by our dear brother, Watchman Nee. And let me tell you something. When that flowed out, I touched the grace of God. Amen. It was actually a sister at our job who shared that with me. And actually, the enjoyment of the Lord was so rich at that moment, I almost started getting tears. But I had to hold them back. You understand? Just keep composure and share something of my enjoyment of Christ. But as I shared with that sister, she began having tears because she was new to the Lord and just enjoying the Lord's presence and the fellowship. And how about this in one of our songs in the hymnal? Grace taught my heart to pray. Oh, saints, as we enjoy grace with other persons, it can teach their heart organically to pray, and it can also cause their eyes to overflow. Amen. Do you all realize why we're in this room right now? Don't think you got here by your own power. It's grace that kept us to this day. And will not let us go. Amen. So grace is God's supply to us. Amen. It's his enjoyment to us. Amen. So we can meet the bill. Amen. We can meet the demand. Amen. We can overflow God, and the requirement is done in him, saints. Amen. So I'll just finish this way. I want to pass the ball. How about we give ourselves to learn Christ in this way? Amen. Who would like to have platters of Christ in their being when you go around? You understand? You won't just have like, you know, one little piece of fruit. You have like a buffet. Paul got into the realm of God's economy, amen, where God has a plan to richly impart himself into us. Amen. The more he's imparted so richly, you can't help but overflow him. Amen. And the overflow will be so normal, amen, so calm, amen, yet so real to other people. Amen. The earth is filled with spiritual deprivation. Amen. Who will enjoy the Lord? Amen. So that men can have God, amen, as their smorgasbord. Amen. Okay, that's, is it? Amen? Okay. So praise the Lord. Amen. Now, that's good, right? You've gotten a little bit of spiritual. Now we'd like to give you some practical, right? A little bit of handles. Who would like to continue enjoying Christ in a practical way? Amen. I'm going to give you just four words. Can I give them four words? These are the four words that touch me concerning message two. If you want to just write this, I'm not going to share anything about them. This is just what I saw. On Roman numeral one, that's the definition of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then under that, on letter E, we have the way, and that's personal. Then letter F, we have the way, and that's corporate. Do you see how? At the end of that, it says the church. Praise the Lord, we have a way to enjoy grace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then you turn the page and praise the Lord for letter D concerning the new covenant ministers. Saints, that is the service.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you see the supply. And then at the bottom, I just got touched that we have the product. The Lord is doing something by giving us grace.
Amen.
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 I actually have so much grace right now, I forgot I'm not even on the mic. Praise the Lord for grace.
Amen.
Grace issues in the church.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let my brother get oriented here.
Okay, so when Brother Minoru been sharing with us, some brothers, and talking about this burden gospel, you know, of course, we gospel of kingdom, gospel of grace, this wonderful message, you know, we are really getting into this matter of gospel in full way. These days in Christianity, the gospel is just like a one-liner. You know, you believe in Christ, you believe in him, and you got saved, and then you're going to go to heaven. Very shallow, low gospel. That's it. That's the definition of the gospel these days. But what we're really getting into in this conference, we try to get into the depth. We realize that the entire Bible is the gospel. All the truth is part of the gospel. But, you know, Brother Minoru's in his heart is that we talk about the gospel, we know the gospel, but if we don't spread the gospel, what's the point? We're not here about learning just about the gospel, but we'll be able to spread the word.
Amen.
We'll be those preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, teaching the gospel. That should be our way. That should be our practice, right? And I'm really, really appreciated this word, commission. He said it multiple times, commission. You are commissioned. You know what is the kingdom gospel? You know what is the grace? You know what happened when you put the Lord first, when you enthrone him, and you are under the rich dispensing, his grace like a river flowing into us, right? We're flooded over with his joy and grace, and we're able to preach this gospel, right? And we know this. We appreciate it. And then what is next? And now we're commissioned. Commissioned to share this gospel with people, okay? Okay, so my little bit of military background, and I was a kind of officer program, so I was a little bit longer period of time training in boot camp, like 4 to 5 months, you know, day and night, day and night, day and night. And then after that, you waiting for that day, commission day. The finally, you get that little, what do you call it, whatever rank it is, you just put there on your shoulder, and then you are lieutenant. You are a commission, right? And then after all, you carry that out, their mission. Brothers and sisters, we know this gospel. We appreciate it. Now we're commissioned. Commission, right? Okay, I mean, let me just get into a little bit practical. Okay, so Matt, you're from Lancaster. Practically, I cannot be commissioned to go to Lancaster to preach the gospel, right? You are commissioned, right? And Christian, you go to VCU, right? What class are you taking? Okay, that exercise class, what, 202, 303, I don't know. That class, I'm not commissioned. You are commissioned, right? You need to go, right? Okay, so. Well, let's be practical. All of us, we are in certain kind of situation, right? And I cannot be everywhere. Brother Minoru cannot be anywhere, right? You are in very particular situation. Amen. You are commissioned there. Amen. To go, to share the gospel, right? Lord really arranged very particular situation that you be there. You'll be there. And I was considering this verse, even go, therefore, disciple all the nations, right? So disciple all the nations. You know, college campus, in a sense, there are all nations are here.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially in the United States, our education is number one in the whole world. So like all educated people, bright people, even have money, they come to U.S. campus. So you don't need to go to Congo.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Congo people, come to the class and sit next to you. Come on.
Amen.
That's right there. You need to go. Amen. Just open your mouth a little bit. Share a little bit. That's your going.
Amen.
That's your commission. Do you get it? Do you get it? And then Lord has a way, his way to spread his word, commission you in this way. If you're a little bit open to the Lord about this, and then Lord can accomplish his goal. Okay, I just, you know, we try to scramble here, try to share with you something helpful. What makes us really not preach the gospel? We've been hearing over and over gospel, and it makes us really uncomfortable, right? We have some experience, past experience, like you fail, you don't want to do it anymore. You get embarrassed, you know. So when we talk about the gospel, you feel like burden. Like somebody's like with the Bible, you feel like hammering on us. Gospel. Why we feel that way, you know? I'm sharing this over and over with our college students. Maybe that's because you have high expectation. Yeah. As soon as you open your mouth, you want them to be saved right there. Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing that gospel. I was a rebel before, but now I see light. I'm bright. Which church do you go to? Yeah. Maybe that's our expectation. Yeah. The Lord said go, but that's about it. So all other things are maybe happening later, but you got to start somewhere. We don't start and then we see the end result, and then we ended up not doing it, right? Many times that's our case. The first case, first things we need to do is go, and number two, open your mouth.
Amen.
Share something.
Amen.
Something. I mean, okay, my burden is like, I want to uncomplicate you. You know, you heard about so much stuff, and you try to say something right way, right tone, and then you ended up not doing well. Just say something.
Amen.
And then Lord will figure out. And then that's actually Lord's word, right? When you're sent to a certain place, don't worry about what you're going to speak. Holy Spirit will be with you.
Amen.
In that moment, he will testify. That should be our way, okay?
Amen.
Just one good example. One of the girl got saved. She was enjoying this normal Christian life, and she was like enjoying so much. And then she was in the bathroom, ladies' room. It's like sharing, oh, this book is so good. Yeah, and then one of the girls said, "Whoa, really? What's the title? What's the name of the author?" And then they were like talking about this. And then somebody actually sitting at the toilet behind the partition is like, "What's the book's name?" And then it's like paper coming down. "Can you write down the name of that book?" And how awkward it is. But yet the word was preached, right? In any kind of circumstances, right? You know, this type of things happen again and again. You can't figure things out, but open your mouth.
Amen.
If you don't open your mouth, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But yet, just learn how to open. Sometimes people reject you. I would say my percentage. I used to go with the brothers all the time, go out and just randomly talk to people. That's hard. This way is hard. But I have to tell you, even though it is hard, you approach 10 people, at least one or two are very good people there. Good response. You get a number, and then that person was like, yeah, I'd like to talk about it more. But you got to have that 8 to get 2,
yeah.
Okay? It's not always you go out and then right away people get saved. It's just definitely not that case. So there's a certain part of the rejection. There's a certain part of turning you down. But it's okay. That's all process. You just learn how to open your mouth,
Amen.
Go about it, and then Lord will edge you the right fruit in front of you.
Amen.
And then that's going to be your fruit. I really enjoy, that the gospel is actually joy.
Amen.
Okay, so I remember first time I got saved when I was 13 years old. And I just, one of the brothers shared the mystery of human life, 3 circle. I was like, that's the coolest thing that I've ever seen. 3 circle. And I was like, I have spirit? Well, I didn't know that. And then, when I was in a children's meeting, I love God. We used to sing a lot of them. But my brother said, you can say like, Lord Jesus, I love you. And that prayer just like ringing in me. And if you say it, Lord could come inside of you, the spirit. It's like, woo, I got saved. And then next week, I got baptized. That moment, I was like, I don't know what it is. I was like skipping back home. I feel like my sky is bluer and wonderful. Being saved, right? You know what happened? If you preach the gospel to somebody and people receive the Lord, this feeling all over again.
Amen.
And somehow you feel like, you didn't experience that much. You become very stagnant, and you're not that living, not that vital, because maybe you don't experience this joy of salvation yet. But when you preach the gospel, share the gospel with people, and people get saved through you, once again, you feel like you're being saved all over again. That makes you really, really fresh and fresh with the Lord. Let me share with you this one verse with you. John chapter 15, whole about bearing fruit. There's branches, loving one another, dwelling one another, abiding in the vine, and at the same time bearing fruit. And then verse 11 says, 15:11, I really enjoy this word. These things I have spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full.
Amen.
Don't you want to be your joy will be full?
Amen.
Don't you want God's joy will be in you? This is through fruit bearing, the preaching the gospel. Okay, maybe I'll just stop here. I'll stop here. I'll just pass the ball with to Brother David.
Praise the Lord. So maybe we end this fellowship before Brother Minoru comes up here with the same question that the barber asked our brother Paul. What is your occupation? What is your occupation? You're about to get your hair cut. The barber wants to know a little bit about you. He asked you this question. What is your occupation? How do you answer that? You're all college students here, correct? That means you're studying a particular occupation, right? Some of you I met last night, pharmacy, correct? The pharmacy students, stand up. Where are the pharmacy students? See? So if you were asked to ask them, what is your occupation? What's that? How would you answer? Oh, to be a pharmacist. Last night I also met someone. How many here are in medical school? Medical school. Anybody in medical school? Stand up. Look at this. Four. Okay. If this hair cutter came to you to ask you, what is your occupation? What are you studying for? How do you respond?
To be an orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, maybe not. How do you respond? Oh, I'm getting trained to be a physician. Very, very noble. I am one myself. Very, very noble. Okay. Who else? What else do we? Okay. Lest we forget about the liberal arts majors. How many here, we would never forget about the liberal arts majors, how many here are studying to be writers? Are you? Anybody? Stand up. If you're studying to be a writer in college, okay, how about if you have any liberal arts major, stand up. We only have one liberal arts major? Are we all like scientists here? Well, okay, praise the Lord. All right, well, you know, so the question gets answered, gets asked again. What is your occupation? I hope after you really, really get into our brother Minoru's sharing and you get into not only his heart, but the heart of the Lord, we would all have the same answer. We would all have the same answer. What is our occupation? What is our, here's another way to say it, our commission? Why are we here on this earth? Why are we here on this earth? Why? You tell me. Why? What did the Lord tell his disciples? Go and study pharmacy. Go and be the best orthopedic surgeon you can be. Go and be the best writer you can be. No, No. What did the Lord tell the disciples? Go and disciple the nations. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's our one occupation. Amen. That is our one occupation. I don't care what you're studying. I don't care what you think you're studying. I don't care what you think you're going to be. We only have one occupation. Amen. We're all doing the same thing. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. What is that? Preaching the gospel. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Discipling the nations. Amen. Do you see this? Do you see this? This is our commission. This is our commission. This is our commission. I'm hoping, you know, the Lord really, 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 really burdens us in these days and opens our eyes again in these days to see this in a very, 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 very real sense is what we're doing on the earth today. This in a very, 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 very real sense is why you're on the campus that you're on. Because the Lord has a burden for the campus and that class. That you're in. We only have one occupation, young brothers and sisters. We only have one. Okay, I don't want to take up too much time. I just had a feeling when the brother said, hey, do you have some feeling to share? Okay, I had some feeling to share with you some practical points. That Brother Benjamin Chen shared with me. You all know Brother Benjamin Chen just went to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago, correct? The last time that I had some direct fellowship with him was this summer, and he reminded me, as well as some of the other brothers, some fellowship that Brother Lee had with him in 1961. Brother Lee in 1961 had a training for young people in Taiwan, and Brother Benjamin was a serving one there. And he shared many, many, many points, but I have a burden to share with you five. Five other points. Why? Because these 5 points all have to do with our occupation. With our occupation of preaching the gospel. Okay? Point number one. If you want to be an effective preacher of the gospel of the kingdom, an effective preacher of the gospel of grace, point number one, he shared, you have to live a God-man living. 1961, Brother Lee was sharing. He didn't use these terms, but a God-man living. Every morning, Brother Benjamin said, he would watch Brother Lee out in the alleyway before the meeting started, sweeping. And he would ask Brother Lee, why every morning, Brother Lee? You're out sweeping. Don't you know they have street sweepers that come every morning to do this? What was Brother Lee's response? Oh, he's answering to someone else. That's the living of a God-man. We want a life of the gospel. Number one, God-man living. Number two, this was very interesting. Number two, do you know what? If you want to be an effective preacher of the gospel of the kingdom, number two is you have to be a good student. This was surprising, even to me. Brother Lee shared, if you're going to be an A student, you know what? You could be an A serving one. You could preach the gospel in A manner. That was a little bit of a surprise. The corollary is also true. If you're a C student, you're a C serving one. And you'll become, eventually, your gospel preaching will be a C level. I don't know what C level gospel preaching is. For me, if you're able, just like our brother is sharing, if you're able to open your mouth and something comes out, hallelujah. But still, the point is, the high gospel, we need to get into it. Amen. We need to spend some time. We need to spend some sweat to get into the high gospel of what is being preached so that it can flow out of us. Point number three, this is the point that was also very, very touching. Brother Benjamin reminded us, okay, if you're going to be Actually, no, he phrased it this way. He said, if in your Christian life, if in your Christian life you sense a lack of power, you sense a lack of vitality. Are we sensing a lack of vitality in our Christian life, in our daily living? A lack of power? He said, you know what the problem is? It means you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen. Wow. Wow. It means you're not preaching the gospel.
Which means what? If you want vitality, if you want the economical spirit, you got to get out. Go and open your mouth. Go and open your mouth.
This is also very, very exposing. Very, very exposing. Okay.
Then point number four. Point number four. I'm not going to elaborate very, very much because this is not what this weekend is about. But point number four, this is also very helpful. Realize every time you go out, every time you do open your mouth, you are not alone. We always go with the body.
Amen.
We always go with the body. We're never alone. We're never alone. When we're opening our mouth, when we're sharing the gospel with our friends, we're never alone. There's always the prayer of the body behind us. We need to realize this. Realize this. Realize this. Okay, and then point number five, and then I'll stop here. This was, to me, at the time, the most touching point. Brother Benjamin again reminded us, okay, your preaching, most of the time, is not effective. You know why it's not effective? It's because you judge. You judge. You judge people. You judge your friends. You judge your acquaintances. You judge your family members. You don't know how to nourish and cherish. You don't know how to nourish and cherish. The real gospel preachers know how to nourish and cherish. And he shared with us a really striking example. He said at that time, there was a student in Taiwan who took you know the entrance exam. They're famous. After you graduate from high school, you got to take this one entrance examination that everybody takes, and the result of this entrance examination determines what school you go to. It's kind of crazy, right? But they all went through this. Thank goodness in the United States we didn't have to do this, because if we did, we'd all like really be crazy and sad. But anyways, so there was this one young person who went and took this test, and he failed. And he failed. And his overseers, or the older ones, really let him have it. Let him have it. And then the outcome wasn't so good. Wasn't so good. The testimony at that time was this young one took his life. This young one took his life. Okay. So, Brother Benjamin reminded me, okay, this is one way you think you can shepherd someone. This way. Look what the result is. Let me propose to you another way. Another way. And then he shared another real-life story, a real-life situation, okay? A couple having a problem, having a marital problem. They're about to split up. They're about to have a divorce. They go to a leading brother, okay? Many of you know him. I won't tell him. I won't say his name right now, okay? Went to this leading brother and asked this leading brother, what should we do? What should we do? Of course, we have a whole bunch of ideas, right, what we would say. Okay, what did this leading one nourish and cherish this couple to do? He just said this, let's come together to pray. Let's come and pray. Let's just get together and pray. Brother Lee is like, this is the best nourishing and cherishing. This is the best nourishing and cherishing. You're not judging anyone. You're not judging it. You're just leading him to Christ. You're leading them to Christ. This is what an effective gospel preacher does. It's not up to us. It's not up to us. We're just leading them. Leading them to the one that we love. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I ask you again, young brothers and sisters, what is our occupation? Not bad. Not bad. And what do priests do? Yes. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Right? Bring God to people. Bring God to people. Make them happy. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Maybe now, as we're still waiting for Brother Minoru to come, maybe we can have some overflow from you guys. What has touched you so far during this time? Okay, don't be shy. Don't be shy. It's just us. Stand up. Tell us what's touched you. Okay. Amen. Amen.
Okay, it's on. But I don't know what to say. I think only half of here are college, really, not wannabes, but real college students, right? Can I get a show of hands of those who are really, really in college? Oh, maybe even less than the number here. So what kind of fellowship is this? Is it for college or is it for non-college?
We've been preaching the gospel, or we've been speaking about the gospel, particularly preaching the gospel on the campus.
You mean just now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did some of your brothers share?
Yeah.
What did you talk about? So I don't repeat what they say.
I shared that the gospel has a supply and has a demand. There's a demand, and sometimes we're afraid of the demand, but as soon as we have the demand, we realize there's a supply.
Okay, that's good.
And I shared from message two, praise the Lord for this grace that we have been given. It is the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The more we're enjoying him and occupied with him like that, we forget about the requirement. And we can't help but share him with others.
Amen.
I shared that sometimes we're overly complicate ourselves in preaching the gospel. All we need to do is actually get into this gospel and open our mouth and then share the gospel with them. And then we're commissioned to where we are to go into that situation and then share the gospel with them.
Amen.
I basically shared that we only have one occupation.
Amen.
Regardless of what school we're in, regardless of what program we're in, we only have one occupation. That is to go and disciple the nation.
Amen. Okay. Well, I think you covered everything. truth be told, I have been sort of out of the college realm for a long time now. Long, long time now. What I mean by that is not only many, many decades ago when I was a student in college. But what I mean is that my many years of involvement with the college students it's not as it was before. My wife and I, Vicky, both came into the church life when we were freshmen or sophomore or, in the undergrad years. And I would be sitting there, like where you are, and I cannot forget how our dear brother, Brother Lee, though many of you don't know who he is or never seen him or met him, how he's stirred us up and really spoke to us. He loves the young people, by the way. He loved the young people. And you can tell. And he would just have so much burden for us and even held particular conferences for us. And this is years, years, years ago. And the one burden he always had with us, besides our loving the Lord, you know, our living a Christian life to enjoy the Lord, and then, of course, our church life, which is huge, to be in the normal church life, you know, all these things, was the burden for the gospel. And so we started out with a strong burden as students for the gospel, for our friends, our college schoolmates, and this kind of thing. So so I was involved from that age, not only in my own campus, which was USC, but you know, with the gospel, but very much involved with a group of brothers and some sisters even, to labor together for the gospel, the college work in general in LA, in Los Angeles. And the work, the labor there was quite fruitful, and many were gained by the Lord in those years. Those were the 60s, okay? So those were the hippies. If you know who the hippies were, those were the hippie years. And we gained quite a number, and not all were hippies, but some were. And some who are still here today in the Lord's recovery. Not all, but a good number are still. They are leading brothers, they are senior saints, and so on and so forth. And that continued all the way on, actually, that burden I'm talking about until today. So even I'm not directly involved in participating in the campus work per se, that is always in me as the number one burden. That is for the young people on the college campuses. So my wife and I, we got married, and then right after we got married, we started our brother's house and sister's house to house the students across from the campus. We were just in a little JC, community college, junior college, nothing big, nothing, but we worked and we gain a number. And today, just a little boast, a number of these ones are co-workers in the recovery, elders in the Lord's recovery, and dare I say, important brothers. And so, that tells you the long-lasting effect and the strategic nature of the strategic importance of gaining young people. It just takes a few winks, and it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It literally, time flies. So, that burden with us, my wife and I, and that continued until today. And we were kind of somewhat partners, and with an open house. And for now, the last 20 years, we've situated ourselves right next to UCI, UC Irvine. And even though I could not be so directly involved on a day-to-day way, we continue to be primarily burdened in that direction, and that is for the college students. So I'm not here to cite my resume, but I am here to tell you whatever I say comes from the heart. And also whatever I say comes from some limited experience. And now I'm looking at Virginia, I'm looking at Maryland, I'm looking at Pennsylvania, I'm looking at this DC, this so-called Mid-Atlantic area. And I told the brothers today, and I hope, I don't know whether they did some homework or not, that in this general area, there are actually in total more schools, four-year schools, colleges and universities, than the New England area. And what I mean by that is mainly the Boston area, which is, you know, we know it's a concentration of these institutions of higher learning. But this area, your area, has actually more. And so you're staring at literally, I would say, probably hundreds of thousands of kids, of college students, just spread across this area. And when I go to visit a campus, I just go crazy. I just get crazy. When I see the young people, I just get crazy. Because I just see such potential there. You know, college, and I've been a college student, many of you have, it is those, I would particularly say those first 2 years, not even the 4 years, just the freshman and sophomore year, plus the last 2 years of high school, you know, like junior and senior. Those about 4 years combined, not legal, but roughly, are the most pivotal years in a person's life, all right? Most pivotal years in the person's life. When they are younger than that, so-called, we call them young people, junior high, high school, they're still very much under their parents, and they have to do as the parents said, and they're not quite matured, I would say, and they have not come into their own as a young adult. And so they are just in sort of in this category, and that's a very important category, because I was saved myself as a church kid when I was in seventh grade. Right after I stepped into junior high, that's when I got saved and baptized, so I know. But I also know that those were the years when I was still kind of, you know, like a child. But when I got into the junior and senior years, something happened. I begin to come on to my own. I begin to think more philosophically. I don't know about you. I did. Maybe I'm just an old soul. I don't know. But I did. I ponder on the meaning of life on my own. I start to read this and that. And I started to have feelings, and you know, you're just thinking about your future. And it was in those years that the Lord came to me. The Lord came to me. I was in the church life after I got saved, and soon I sort of dropped out and with some of my friends and left the church life. And it was in those last 2 years of college, high school, that the Lord came and called me. I would say I experienced my genuine spiritual awakening, even though I was saved, but my genuine spiritual awakening occurred between my junior and senior year in high school. Eventually culminated in the Lord's visitation of me personally, close to the end of my senior year, prior to my coming to this country for college. And I was ready, and I was 16, 17, but I was ready. I wouldn't say I was mature or grown, not in that sense, but as a vessel, you know what I mean, as a vessel made by the Lord in my years, in my relative maturity and condition, the Lord came. And then my coming to this country was a very, very dramatic and traumatic experience. At that age, leaving your home 2,000 years, 2,000 miles away, across the ocean to a new land called America, the culture shock, the homesickness, the loneliness, the all of that rolled together, and the Lord continued His hand, His work on me, particularly in those first 2 years. And in those first 2 years, one of those years, I was not in the church. I was just somewhere in some town where I went to school. But I had made contact with the church in LA and the ministry in Los Angeles. And so it was in the sophomore year that I, it was in those 2 years, first year, I call it my Arab years, you know, Arab meaning, not Arab, Arabic years, like Paul, you know, he went to the Arabia and there he received the revelation. I'm not saying I'm Paul, I'm saying I was away and all I had was books upon books, and I read, and I read, and I read. And at the same time, I was got in contact with the church in Los Angeles and the ministry of Witness Lee, and that turned my life upside down. And so prior to coming to this country, I gave my life completely to the Lord, absolutely consecrated, even with a burden, a calling to serve the Lord with full time, not knowing how that's going to work out. But that was the calling that I received. So I gave my life totally to the Lord. After I came here in Los Angeles, I touched the church. That was like my second awakening, to see the church in the Lord's recovery. And that captured me and caused me to have my second consecration to the church. And so those 4 years are the, I mentioned my testimony to as a small proof to you that the 4 years, this is roughly, let's say, from 16 to 20, yeah, in age. That age is absolutely pivotal, and I don't know if some of you are in that age or not. If you are, I am exceedingly jealous of you. That, those 4 years somehow are the years where a man or woman is ripe for God's visitation, for God's particular visitation and calling to follow Him. And that is the time when a young person begin to form their life. You know what I mean. That's when they make cultivate friendship that could last a lifetime. That's the time when they begin to buy in to a certain kind of a philosophy of life or belief system, if you will, that can control the rest of their lives. And this is why what you get in college is very important. You know, what you hear from the professors, this and that, that can dictate, you know, a lot. And so, and that also are the years when a young man or a young woman is the most open to things. They're not ingrained, they're not stuck, they are not, you know, they are flexible, they're open to try new things, to listen to new to ideas. So, you look at the history and you see that almost many, with the exception of some, most servants of the Lord were gained by the Lord around that time, in those years. If you ask me today, how old was Adam when God made him? Isn't it a weird question? Have you ever thought of it? God made man, that was Adam. Guess his age. How old was Adam when he was made? 12. But I will tell you, I absolutely don't believe he is over 30. Absolutely not. If anything, in physical age, instant physical age in that case, I would say probably in the late teens, early 20s. That's my guess. That's my guess. Of course, he got married, but people get married in that age, am I right? It's not unusual. Brothers and sisters, when we talk about the gospel on the campus, I like you all to have this view about yourself and about all those who are around you. The Lord, in every age, visits the young people because his work is not done. He still needs young men and women, to call them to himself, not only to save them, but to possess them and to gain them as a vessel for his use until his work is done. And we're living in this age which is closer and closer to the end. And so the Lord's need is ever greater, and the need for such vessels is like never before. So we're not here just to stir you up to just go preach the gospel. I hope you would have this kind of a view within you. That is to reach out to your peers, your schoolmates, with the gospel, with this high gospel, for the sake of the Lord himself and for the sake of his move on the earth. I close my eyes and envision in this area that there would be hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of young people gained for the Lord as a young army to take the Lord's recovery, Christ and the church, onwards until he comes back. The future belongs to you. The future of the Lord's recovery belongs to you. And now, while you're on campus, while you're in school, this is the best time for you to love the Lord, to follow the Lord, to dive into the church life, am I right? To go to the meetings, to pray, to read the Bible, to digest the ministry. That's all I did in those days. Besides studying, I'm doing that. I have no time left for anything else, you know, all these other junk. No time for that. And so I hope you would live such a life. And then to speak the word, the gospel, to your friends. It's not that hard. You are the best ones to contact them because they are your friends, and your schoolmates and classmates and all of that. So I charge you to receive such a commission of the gospel and take that as a responsibility, as a particular responsibility. And then while you're in school in these 4 years, you just endeavor, amongst other things, to preach this Christ, to bring this Christ to the people. I'd like to recommend you one book to read, and that is Preaching the High Gospel. It's so-called Preaching the High Gospel, something on the High Gospel. And you try to find that title. Five messages. Christ is the meaning of the universe. Man is the meaning of the universe. Christ is the meaning of human life. The church is the expression of Christ. And then the last message is go. And disciple the nation, something like that. That would be a very, very good book for you to get into and receive this this burden. When you go, you have a few things that is in your favor. Number one, you have the Lord's authority with you. Whoever the Lord's commission, the authority goes along with the commission. He never commissioned people without endowing them with the authority needed to execute. So you have the Lord's authority. You have to believe in that. All authority is given to him, and he will be with you all the days. Amen. And the second thing is you have the Holy Spirit. You don't need this, that, and that, the gimmicks and this kind of thing, worldly methods. You have the Spirit of the Lord. So as young people seek the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can experience that by confession with the Lord, by prayer, much prayer, and by going to speak. You will experience the economical spirit. I did, for sure, very much. And then this will cause you to be able to lose your face, you know, to not be so self-conscious when the Spirit is with you. And number three, you have the Word of God. We do not use any other means but the very pure Word of God. And what we're doing this weekend is to give you more Word, right? Actually, you have enough what you have. You may not have that much to speak already. You don't need to know everything. What you have is enough for you to speak. In fact, the more you speak, the more you will get. Like a hose, the more it flows out on this end, the more the water will flow out and come in this other end. And then fourthly, you have the prayer. Prayer. Take the way of prayer. Just twos and threes, right? So this is the next thing I will say. Besides these four items, then the other side is you must band together in with a partner or another two to become twos and threes, because there's a power in the body that alone, as a loner, you just don't have. A threefold cord is not easily broken. When one falls, the other one will pick you up. One can chase 1,000, two can chase, not 2,000, 10,000. It's exponential when you have two and three, the power that is. That is really real. We experience that. And that's number one. Secondly, you must be work. You must use the homes. Contact the bring yourself to be with certain homes, families, because you need them as a container, as a place to bring your new ones and friends to in the homes. So the homes is a kind of a channel of the gospel as a receiving station of the contacts and the new ones that you have. So I would just like to challenge all of you, especially the students, amen? That you will take this commission, and while you're on campus, bear the remaining fruit for the Lord. Amen. I think this is 5:30 already, am I right?